Appreciate your pastor's daddy and mother having me in their home today for a fine meal. I mean a good meal. I really enjoyed it. If I were to hang around y'all, I believe you'd fatten me up. Okay, I promised you I'd preach this evening on Paul's thorn in the flesh. So I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 12. While you're turning, I'll share some good news with you. My daughter, she's 41 years old, and she's supposed to give birth to a baby boy in October. Love them grandchildren. Somebody said they call them grandchildren because they're so grand. Second Corinthians chapter 12. Thank you so much, Brother Rochester, for inviting me to be here today. I really appreciate it. I really do. I'm going to read verse 1. Paul said, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Paul had a lot of revelations. Now going down to verse 7. Verse 7 is a key verse in our message. Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." He prayed about it. "That it might depart from me." And he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." God's ways are not our ways, but they sure are good. I lead us in a word of prayer. You pray in your heart as I pray audibly. Then I'm preaching with the help of God this evening on the ministry of the thorn. The ministry of the thorn. God, our Father and our God in heaven, God, thank you again for the privilege to pray. I thank you again, dear God, who hears and answers prayer. Father, again, I thank you, God, you meant what you said when you said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Remember, James said, you have not because you ask not, then God in heaven, Father, we come asking. Thank you for giving us liberty in the service this morning. But Father, you know, I'm very conscious of the fact that past victory is not sufficient for present or future victory. So in Jesus' name, God, please, for Jesus' sake, give us victory in this service this evening. Thank for this church family. Thank for these our precious brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no people, God, like your people. No one like you, Jesus. Precious Jesus. Thank for this pastor and this family. Thank you for giving us a kindred spirit. God, continue, please, to use Brother Michael here and his family. I pray in Jesus' name, God, continue to bless this church. Keep your hand on this church. Thank you for this beautiful building. God, you should have been good to all us. And oh, God, we do pray, God, have mercy upon those people in the Ukraine. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, please save those poor people's souls. Father, in Jesus' name, stop that ungodly Russian leader, old Putin. God, stop that man. In Jesus' name, stop him, God. Father, you see, he ain't nothing but a murderer. God, you can stop him. I pray in Jesus' name, stop him, God. Stop that man. Now, please, God, bless your people this evening. Help to know by the end of the service whether we've got a thorn or not and how to deal with it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The ministry of the thorn. There are a lot of ministries in and through the local church. You've got preaching, teaching, praying, tract ministry, youth ministry, bus ministry, jail ministry, prison ministry, radio ministry, TV ministry. Some churches even have a deaf ministry. I'm about that close to needing one of them. Thank God for these hearing aids. I'd be in a silent world. That's honest truth. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. So there are a lot of ministers in and through the church. But all these ministries are for others. But the thorn is a ministry to me and you. It's for us. Your thorn may not be my thorn may not be yours. We don't know what the Apostle Paul's thorn was. He didn't tell us, and really that's good that he didn't tell us. If he had told us, then we'd have thought, well, his thorn, my thorn are different, so. So I don't know whether God's grace is sufficient for me or not, but yes it is. Now, there's a difference in the Bible between trials and thorns. All Christians go through trials. 1 Peter 4:12, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. We all go through trials. But we don't all have thorns. The truth of the matter is, if you're successful at anything, you're a candidate for the thorn. You don't just have to be a preacher. You could be a successful doctor, nurse, lawyer, dentist, mechanic, carpenter. banker, businessman, if you're successful in anything, you're candidate for the thorn, because if you're successful in anything, you'll have problems with pride. Devil see to that. So there's a difference between trials and thorns. Trials, more temporary, come and go. Thorns, more permanent. If you have a real thorn from God, you'll probably have it till you die. It'll follow you to the graveyard. Paul's thorn followed him to the graveyard. He never got rid of it. And I make a strong statement, but I know this is right. And Paul would be the first one to say amen to what I'm going to say. He was better off with it than without it. And you're better off with your thorn than without it. And I'm better off with my thorn than without it, as painful as it may be, as trying as it may be. Then there's a difference between a thorn and chastisement. Chastisement is to get the sin out once it gets in, but a thorn is to keep the sin from ever entering in. That's what it did in Paul's case. Kept the pride out of him. So God knows what he's doing if you got a thorn. And you're going to probably endure it instead of enjoying it. But there's a lot of things in life we don't enjoy, but we go ahead and do it. We obey God because it's right. We're going to notice six simple thoughts and I'll let you go. We're going to notice Paul's privileges, Paul's peril, Paul's pain, Paul's prayer, Paul's provisions. Last of all, Paul's praise. That's exactly the way God gave it to me years ago. And I've preached this message a lot lately because that COVID nearly killed me. And I suffer every day because of that. If you have the COVID real bad, you have a tendency to have vertigo. And I've got vertigo extremely bad, real bad. I've even had people to say, how in the world do you drive if you've got vertigo? I say, I pray a lot. And help you stay prayed up. Yeah, you better believe I pray a lot. I nearly ran all over a car out here in Interstate 85 here not long ago. I was on him before I realized what was happening. Vertigo. Way to go, vertigo. So I noticed, first of all, Paul's privilege. Paul was greatly blessed of God. In verse 1, he talked about revelation, plural. Verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Notice the abundance of the revelations. Paul was a privileged man, talking about Paul's privileges. Paul wrote half the New Testament. He had three successful missionary journeys. He's a great Christian. He's a great man. I believe Paul was the greatest Christian ever lived. I really believe that. What a Christian. So the Apostle Paul, he saw a lot. He heard a lot. He wrote a lot. He did a lot. A privileged man. That brings me next of all to Paul's peril. You know what his peril was. Look at verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Folks, that's pride. That was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Twice in one verse, he said, lest I be exalted above measure. That's pride. That's pride. You say, you mean the great apostle Paul had to fight pride? That's what it's saying right there. See, he was great. He was successful. Very successful. Like I said, he's the greatest Christian ever lived. And people like that, the devil's going to try to get them lifted up with pride. The devil knows what got him kicked out of heaven. That's pride. So don't be surprised the devil doesn't try to get you lifted up with pride. I sometimes wonder why in the world we have to get so full of pride when the Bible says, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? If you got anything worth bragging about, well, it didn't originate with you. It originated with God. So give God the glory. Keep your hands off of God's glory. God said, my glory will I give unto no man. Paul's peril. Pride. See, the Bible says pride goeth before destruction, the horn of spit before fall. The Bible says God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. In Proverbs chapter 6, Solomon said, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abominations to God. The first one on the list is a proud look. God hates my pride. He hates your pride. He hates pride, period. We need to beg God to clothe us with humility daily. Daily. You know, this little bottle of water. This was a cup of water instead of a bottle of water. And it was about half full. I could probably walk backwards and forth across this platform a good while without spilling a drop, but fill it up to the brim. You get the message, it's hard to carry a full cup without spilling it. So God allows a thorn in your flesh, my flesh keeps from spilling it. Reading between the lines, it just seems like God says, Paul, I got too much invested in you to let you blow it. So here's a thorn to keep you humble. Martin Luther, the man that got saved, came out of the Roman Catholic Church some 400 or 500 years ago, made one of the most powerful statements I've ever read and heard in my life. Powerful. Now you listen to what he said. He said, I've often seen God allow preachers and leaders and churches to get into the sin of adultery as a judgment upon their sin of pride. That's a powerful statement. I've seen that. I've seen that. I remember back years ago, there was a preacher well known all over this country, was preaching this meeting that some of us went to hear him. Having morning and night services. And after one of the morning services, we all went over to the fellowship hall to have the noon meal together. We're sitting all up and down the table. He was sitting at an angle across the table from me. I could reach through and touch his hand. By the time we finished that meal, I thought to myself, whew, this one was arrogant men I've ever met in my life. Man, was he arrogant. Well, in due time, you know what happened to him? He got into the awful sin of adultery, or the judgment upon his sin of pride. I'm telling you, God hates pride. He hates it. Next of all, we see Paul's pain. Paul's thorn in the flesh was very, very painful. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, in verse 7, the messenger of Satan buffeted me. This thorn that Paul's talking about here is not comparative to the thorn on your rose bush. Oh, no. I doubt the thorn on a rose bush would make the Apostle Paul pray earnestly about it three times. After all, you look how much this man suffered. All you have to do is turn back one chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received thou 40 stripes, save one. This man's beat with a cat of nine tails five times. Sometimes people died under that. That's what they did to our Lord. They scourged him before they crucified him. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Can you imagine that? Once I was stoned. You read about that in the book of Acts. He was stoned, left outside the city of Lystra for dead. But the Bible said he got up. You read about it in the book of Acts, like I said, and what you'll read over there is amazing to me. It says he went back into the city of Lystra. If that had been me, I think I'd have caught the next bus out of town. Not the Apostle Paul. What a Christian. Then he goes on and says, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, the Gentiles that is, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, among the Jews. Verse 27, in weariness and painfulness. We're talking about Paul's pain. Paul's pain. Now that thorn that the Apostle Paul was talking about was comparative to a stake. It was comparative to a pole, something like a fence post, sharpened to a point on the end. And they would take the victim and stick him down on that. The point would go right up under his chest cavity. And of course he would die. Paul compared his thorn to that. I had this man suffer. But you won't read where he complained. What a Christian. What a Christian. Not one time did he say, God, if it's the way you treat your children, I'm through. No. No, this man loved Jesus. He loved God with all of his heart. Like I said, your thorn may not be my thorn, or my thorn may not be your thorn. Your thorn could be arthritis. Could be even rheumatoid arthritis. I was preaching a church recently. And when we was leaving the church, there was a man got doing like this, and I thought, I wonder what he's suffering from. I approached him and just, you know, humbly asked him, you know, what he's going through. He said, I got rheumatoid arthritis. Extremely painful. Your thorn in the flesh could be recurring kidney stones. Could be migraine headaches. There's a number of people probably in this auditorium right now that knows what it is to have migraine headaches. My pastor, I believe, has them worse than anybody I've ever met in my life. Seems like he doesn't have them as bad as he used to, but he does have them. And no doubt, it's probably his thorn in the flesh. Because he's a great preacher. He's a very successful pastor, and that's probably his thorn in the flesh to keep him from being lifted up with pride. I'm telling you, if you're successful at anything, you're a candidate for a thorn. Your thorn in the flesh could be heart trouble, cancer. Could be a bad nervous disposition. Could be you have nervous breakdowns. Could be a mental disorder. They claim there's over 30 million people in America now with mental and emotional disorders. We consume some 24 tons of tranquilizers, sleeping pills, things of that nature every day in America alone. One uptight generation on us. Your thorn of flesh could be diabetes. Boy, a lot of people got diabetes. That killed my brother. Here's a big one. Your thorn of flesh could be depression. I've been through a lot of that in my lifetime. Depression. Could be a chemical imbalance in your brain or in your blood. Next of all, we see Paul's prayers. Paul's prayer, he prayed about it. Notice he said in verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me." The word besought there means to beg. This man actually begged God to remove the storm. And I believe if God would hear anybody's prayers, they'd hear the Apostle Paul's prayers. But see, Paul didn't know what was best for him until God told him the purpose of this. And I don't know what's best for you, and I don't know what's best for me, only God does. I'm telling you, some of the things we go through, like I've already said, we're better off with it than without it. That's a mouthful, but it's the truth. It's the truth. You and I would be better off to suffer and be used of God than have perfect health get lifted up with pride and get put on the shelf. Paul said, "I fear that after I preach to others, I myself should become a castaway." That is, get put on the shelf. Boy, that's something that I pray, God, please, don't ever let me get put on the shelf. And I hate for God to take his hand off me and say, "I'm through with you." Pray about it. Paul prayed about it. You know, I didn't see this for a long time. Not one time did God rebuke Paul. Not one time did he say, "Don't you ask me about that anymore." You know, Moses, he requested God let him go on into the land of Canaan anyway, and God more or less said, "Don't you ask me about that anymore." And here Paul is, he's asking God again and again to take the thorn away, and God never did rebuke him. Never did. So Paul prayed about his thorn. You may never know for sure whether you've really got a thorn or not until you pray about it. The Bible says, plainly says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." See, why worry when we can pray? But if we don't pray, we're going to worry. Like what I already told you, said prayer moves the hand, moves the whole world. That's right. You got to remember, God's your father. If you're saved, God is your father. Yes, he's God, but he's your father too. Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. We have a Father in heaven that loves his children, cares about his children, wants to help his children. Glory to God. Now I'm going to tell you something. I've learned over the years, through suffering, hardships, to tell God exactly how you feel. Don't complain, no. But just say, God, I'm not complaining, but you know, God, I'm suffering, God. I'm hurting. I need help. Just tell him how you feel. See? He loves you. He won't rebuke you. Yeah, you may never know whether it's a thorn or not until you commit it to God in prayer. But I'm going to tell you something. If you go to all the doctors and take all the medication that they prescribe, and you don't get better, then you've probably got a thorn in the flesh. And if you have a thorn in the flesh that God's given you, and it is a gift, Paul said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. If you have a thorn in the flesh that comes from God, you can take all the medication you want to, go to all the hospitals you want to, talk to all the counselors you want to, and you're probably not going to get any help. But he will give you grace. I'm coming to that. But if you can go to the doctor and get help, go. Because Jesus is the one who said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Jesus said, sick people need a doctor. I mean, you know, me and you were out hunting, you know, and if I got bit by a rattlesnake, I wouldn't say, hey, let's get out here and pray about this before we go to the doctor. I say, no, we'll pray on the way to the doctor. Then we see Paul's provisions coming down to the good part now. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. One of the most beautiful statements in all the Bible. This means so much to me because I know after all I've been through that I would not be in this pulpit this evening if it wasn't for the grace of God. My grace is sufficient for thee. Not my grace was or shall be. My grace is. That's present tense. That's right now. Right now. Right now God's grace is sufficient for me and you. And it may take you some time. It may take some time for you to get a handle on this. But you just hang in there and eventually you're going to find yourself rising above your circumstances by the grace of God. No, he probably ain't going to take that thorn away. But he's going to give you grace to go on in spite of it. You can't beat God, I'm telling you. I'm finding his grace is sufficient. Let me illustrate this. About years ago, there was this man who wanted a Rolls Royce. That's a car that's made, I think, in England, ain't it? Rolls Royce? Huh? Okay. Now, I'm satisfied with my Chevrolet myself. I understand a Rolls Royce cost a pile of money, real expensive. But I'm satisfied with my Chevrolet, and if you got a Ford, I feel sorry for you. Somebody said, you know the difference between a Ford and a golf ball? You can drive a golf ball 300 yards. Somebody said them Fords must have some beautiful motors because every time you see one, they got the hood up looking at it. No, if you got a Ford, you may be better off than those of us who got a Chevrolet. At least you probably haven't had to put a new motor in yours. I had to do that. So this fella, he went down to Rolls Royce dealership and he looked those Rolls Royce cars over, you know, and he liked what he saw, but he decided to go home and think about it, so he'd commit himself to buying one. Just before he walked out of the Rolls Royce dealership, he turned around and looked at the salesman or the manager. He said, by the way, how much horsepower does this thing have? And he said, I'll look into that. I'll let you know. I'll wire you. I'll let you know. Man went on home. He did wire. He wired him two words. That's all. Horsepower adequate. He didn't tell him how much horsepower the motor had. He just said the horsepower is adequate to get that car to do what we designed it to do. And the grace of God's adequate to get me and you to do what God designed us to do. Woo! Thank God we don't have to have a pity party. Last of all, look at Paul's reactions. I love this, Paul's praise. Notice what Paul said. When he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, in that same verse, chapter 12, verse 9, he said, most gladly, most what? Gladly. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take what? Pleasure. Paul, you rejoicing over this? I sure am, since God showed me the reason for it. He said, I take pleasure in infirmities. That's sickness. I take pleasure in reproaches, in necessities, that's needs, in persecutions. And my, how that man was persecuted by the Jews, Gentiles. Seemed like everybody. I take pleasure in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. God's ways are not our ways. This Bible does not teach that God's strength is made perfect in strength. It teaches that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. I've been preaching all down this country for years and years that if God could ever get you and I weak enough, there's no telling how strong he'd be on our behalf. See, we get in his way. Therefore, we have to suffer and suffer and suffer. God has to break us and bend us and mold us to get us to the place where we'll turn the reins over to him and let him run our life. And if we don't let him run our life, we are in danger of ruining our life. I'm talking about this evening, the ministry of the thorns. He has a ministry. Could be by now, after this service, at the end of this message, that you realize, I know what he's talking about. I've got a thorn in the flesh. If you got a thorn from God, then you're probably not going to be able to get rid of it. He didn't give it to you for you to get rid of it. He gave it to you to keep you humble and keep you dependent upon God all the days of your life. So I'm fixing to lead us in a word of prayer. The musicians have come. You may want to come to the altar while I'm praying. Just get out here and get honest with God. Just say, God, I'm not complaining, but God, you know that I'm in pain. I need help. Would you stand your feet? Some of you may want to come on the altar while I'm praying. Father in heaven, God, I thank you that you meant what you said when you said what you did. You said, my grace is sufficient for thee. God, I think it's sufficient right now, right this moment. Oh, God, Father, your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts, but your ways sure are good. They're perfect. Father, I thank you. You've never made a mistake and never will. I think you'll do right about us. Oh, I think you love us. Thank you, Jesus, precious Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank for love that passeth knowledge. Oh, God, thank for love that truly will not let us go. Help your people here this evening. Help your people. Oh, God, please help your people. Father, we'll thank you. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You're just playing and singing a number.
Is going wrong.
Don't you try to bear that burden in your own strength.
And the weight of this world is weighing.
I encourage you to come down here and talk to Jesus about it.
When you feel like God's forsaken you, you don't feel like going on. But then God wraps his arms around you and says, my child, you're not
alone. You're going to find God's grace is sufficient when you come.
My grace will be sufficient no matter where you are or what you're going through.
Only one that can really help you enough, God.
It will always be sufficient for every trial that comes to you. In this life that we're living in, sometimes it's hard to stand, and you feel like giving up, never to speak his name again. But through the trials and temptations that we go through day by day, just remember what he's done, how he's been with you all the way.
My heart goes out to you.